so sometimes as a coach coming in, you may, you know, be walking on eggshells, and I just kind of put that to bed. Like, it's not, nobody's sensitive in here. You know, we want to win games just as bad as you do, and it's a collaborative effort in everything. This is not Pop Warner. You know, this is, we work together side by side to get things done, and yeah, that's really what my message was.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Mercedes Lewis, team captain. Dustin kind of went after him earlier. I hope you were listening during the pick six. You can go back and check it out on the Odyssey app. But
team captain, offensive spokesman?
Offensive jumping off sides guy, according to Dustin Rhodes.
Well,
more penalties than catches.
Yes.
More missed blocks
than blocks.
Penalties, which is also more than catches.
Okay. He was brought here for his leadership and his blocking. Mm-hmm. But I listen, I'm not going to push back on his effectiveness. I wondered at the time they brought him back for a 19th NFL season, and I think it's fair to wonder now about what his role is.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the fact is the Bears value him as a leader. They made him a captain. And when he talks about the offensive coordinator needing to stop walking on eggshells, mm-hmm. and not to be tentative because they can be coached, they are dudes in that locker room, this isn't Pop Warner, that doesn't reflect well on the coaching staff of the Bears. And it makes you wonder. We said at the beginning of the season, let's go back. One of the things that we were all waiting to see and needed to see was Matt Eberflus having an impact on Sundays. The head coach justifying the reprieve he received last January. And it has to extend to his coaching staff. The impact you want on Sundays from your coaching staff, ideally, is not a negative one. We didn't mean this way. We meant the other way. So that's why my confidence is low heading into this game for no other reason except for I think the Rams have proven, not just because Sean McVay has a Super Bowl ring, but because they just are coming off a victory over the 49ers that...
Beating up 49ers.
They were injured, but beating up Rams.
Beating up Rams, beating up 49ers. Are the Bears beat up? Mercedes Lewis missed practice this week. Well, that he misses one day of practice each week.
He didn't miss a meeting.
No.
He didn't miss the meeting.
He went to the meeting, and he responded, telling the coaches not to be afraid to coach the players.
Well, that's the problem
to
me.
That's the most damning thing you can say, isn't it?
And that's why when we talk about these press opportunities, these opportunities to reach the fan base and to speak about what went wrong and the 9 straight shotgun snaps and all those things, when you open and lead with the fact that you were happy with your meeting with the leadership council, who knew they were meeting? Yeah. I didn't know that was on their agenda.
Well,
I know it struck such a chord. So if it causes
who demanded the meeting?
I don't know.
Sounds like the leadership council had something to say.
Maybe so. Maybe the leadership council felt like a lot of our fed up callers and texters. Like, what are you thinking, Shane?
A lot of that going on.
Fourth and goal from the one, speed option, the get play. They haven't really practiced that well. It's very frustrating. So it shifts your attention from what the Bears can do well against the Rams and how they have an opportunity to, you know, take advantage of the Rams not having their top two receivers and injuries on the offensive line. The focus has shifted from how they can win this game with the formula they used to win the only game they have won this year to, do you really trust this offense if the players don't? Is it smart to invest confidence and faith in Shane Waldron if the players don't?
It's a very awkward reality that you have a player coming out and talking the way he talked about it. And then, unfortunately for Shane Waldron, you get to listen to yet another of his news conferences where he's just kind of bouncing around to ideas, but he's not articulating what the solutions are. At least he didn't yesterday.
It's not his strength, and I don't really feel like the style of the way he delivered it was as newsworthy as the substance of it. And I don't think he ever gave a really good explanation for the things that didn't go right. Having DeAndre Carter block on the edge when he was an undersized wide receiver, why he had the speed option on fourth and goal from the one, why they ran nine straight plays out of the shotgun formation. I could take him sounding skittish and uncomfortable if he were to offer reasonable explanations for something that went wrong.
Right.
The problem is he sounded skittish and uncomfortable, and he never offered reasonable explanations for what went wrong. So that was my biggest issue. And then after that, because he introduced the thing about the players meeting, obviously the beat corps, which did a terrific job during the press conference, they go to the player, they ask about that meeting, and it bad becomes worse in a hurry.
Right.
Because we all have been parts of Bears teams that have imploded, and you just don't want this one to be another example.
And it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to mean they are imploding. It doesn't have to mean anything. I do believe, though, that if you're throwing the ball 52 times, that's a mistake. I think we all know that's a mistake. I think we all understand that they played against a team in Indianapolis that couldn't stop the run. And what did they do? Well, they failed to run the ball. They made them look better than they are against the run, in part because of the way they tried to incorporate a running game out of a shotgun formation with a running back in DeAndre Swift, who is getting tackled behind the line as much as he is going down at first contact. It is just a very difficult thing to watch the failures of the offensive line and to not get any sort of verbalization of how that will be fixed. You know, you can say we want balance and we want to run the football, but when you run a play from under center where you possibly could run the football and you choose instead to do an end around because you want to get cutesy and trick someone, that's the kind of thing that will drive people crazy.
Drive people crazy. Especially in a football town that respects power football.
Yes.
And that's maybe a secondary point. But what we have here, three games in, a team at a crossroads and an offense with an identity crisis.
Yes.
And that's not what you wanted three games into the season.
I think we know what their identity is. Their identity is finesse passing game offense. That's it. That's all they are.
Well,
and they need to change that identity, or they need to.
That's not going
to
get you to the playoffs.
No, it's not.
It's not going to get you more wins than losses. And I think that's the problem. And it doesn't really fill you with a lot of confidence. Back to the substance part of the Shane Waldron talk yesterday. When he explains part of the reason why, or the thinking behind the shotgun emphasis, nine straight snaps, it was because of the quarterback RPO.
Well, it was, I think, you know, maybe even just quarterback zone read possibility, maybe quarterback.
This is not that quarterback, though.
No.
That's my point.
No.
Is that if we're wondering what's going on and the explanation involves the description of Caleb Williams as if he were still Justin Fields, or as if that quarterback was still a guy who had the running capability or favored the run over throwing the ball. Caleb Williams is not somebody who you want to necessarily do damage with his legs. He runs when he has to.
Yes.
He not because you want him to.
He likes to move in the pocket to buy himself time to throw. He is not a guy that wants to move in the pocket in order to run down the field. I think that what was really damning to me is the idea that Caleb Williams said after the game, can you check out of that play? I'm talking about the fourth and one play where they did a pitch out on a speed play where they pitched out to Swift, and he gets tackled for minus 12. He said, yes, I am allowed to check out of that play, but he said that there wasn't enough time. The play kind of came in late, and by the time they break the huddle, by the time he's under the line, they got 5 seconds left, and you don't want to burn a timeout there. He didn't say this. I'll say it. You can't burn a timeout there because the coach likes to waste those on various things like a two-point conversion or a bad challenge.
You need to keep all your timeouts so you can squander them later. That's our cynical interpretation.
We're interjecting that idea.
But the point's a good one because This is all related to the other bigger problem, big picture, that they've identified all week long, the lack of communication or the need to improve the communication. You need to improve the process, the operation from whether it's the booth or Shane Waldron on the sidelines to the quarterback to the huddle to the line of scrimmage.
Exactly.
And when you have a difficult time with that process, it reduces your options and flexibility. So you get to the line of scrimmage, and Caleb Williams may have known that play was doomed from the start.
Yes, he may have.
But he couldn't do anything about
it. He couldn't change it because he wasn't going to be able to – think about how that play happened, too.
Yeah.
He gets the snap of the ball. The defensive tackle's in the backfield. He flips it out.
They're 9 yards deep.
And there's a photo of, like, four of the five offensive linemen – unfortunately, lying on the ground. One of them looked like they were in some pose on top of a piano, singing a lot of shoes, a lot of rice. The groom was nervous.
It was not a good look.
Not a good look.
Not a good look. Not the look
you're
looking for.
The look you're hoping for if you watch this team play football.
And that was one example. The other glaring example of a communication issue that would plagued them all day and really maybe all season so far. The first pass of the game to DJ Moore, Caleb Williams thought he was running a conversion route. DJ Moore kept on running down the field. When that happens, that was, to use Mark Grody's favorite word, that portended of bad things ahead for this offense, because we would learn later just how bad the communication was. Certainly on the fourth down, it reared its ugly head. So now you've got a crisis. Now you've got an identity crisis. Now you've got a problem with the offense. It's not talent, according to the general manager. And it's all a mess, frankly,
as
the Rams come to town.
I will say this, that one of the problems that you're seeing is you're seeing an offensive coordinator who is going to run this play regardless of who is in. In other words, if Keenan Allen, with his size and his understanding of the game, is in the slot, maybe he could get in the way of a defensive end. But if he's been replaced in the lineup because he's out injured, don't run that play when you've got a guy who's a smaller version of him that can't possibly get in the way of the defensive lineman.
I think it's fair.
That's the sort of thing. When you see that happen, when you're pretending like any player can play any position and you can do everything and you're going to call the play and elsewhere, of course these plays look good when you're practicing them.
And
that doesn't mean it's the right
tape,
play.
On the board, on the whiteboard, whatever. But I think what this does is that, again, it reinforces this idea. We saw in... was it the first game? I think it was. Cole Kmet was on the field for less than half the snaps.
Yeah.
And then it was, the personnel groupings, they were odd. And what Shane Waldron has shown a tendency in a very small sample size, but something he needs to correct quickly, is he neglects to think about what personnel he has at his disposal. And they are all X's and O's to him, or just X's. They aren't players with names and talents and tendencies. He's not utilizing his personnel because of their specific talents or the lack of ability to make a block.
Yes.
Or he's not considering their limitations.
Right.
He's calling plays like he's designing them for anonymous players.
Right.
He's not designing plays or calling them because of specific strengths they may have or weaknesses they do. And that's a problem when you have a coach that is so fixated on winning the schematic battle. You don't have to play chess when checkers will do.
Right.
And that's what I'm getting at the way the Bears need to approach this weekend. And that's why I have very little confidence that he can out-coach or out-scheme or out-smart Sean McVay.
Well, I think that the problem, the added problem is that apparently he runs his own fiefdom. In other words, the coach may be floating around and hanging out in meetings with the offensive linemen. Hey, guys, we got a block. Or he may be talking to the quarterback and developing that relationship. But he is not, to our knowledge, getting in the face of the offensive coordinator and telling him, hey, let's stop running out of the shotgun down here.
Somebody.
Let's stop running the wrong player for a power run.
That can't be Mercedes Lewis telling him that.
That's exactly right.
That can't be a player getting in his face. That's got to be his boss that draws a line. No more shotgun. No more fancy stuff. Let's establish an identity. We've got a defense. We can play special teams. We got a punter. And we got a kicker. Let's play that way, Shane, and let's do the right thing.
The real problem, too, with Mercedes Lewis as the spokesman is he's a well-spoken man, and he's articulate, and I liked what I heard from him. But Dustin is correct. When you're talking about a guy who's a shadow of maybe what he once was, who's in the back end of it, I get it. He understands how the communication has to work. But when he can't make a play, it is difficult to have him be the one that is being the communication expert for representing the players. He's not good enough at this point.
He's also got a lot of Packer stink on him.
Oh, boy. See, now you had to go there.
I'm just saying. I know that's what Dustin's thinking.
Yeah,
right? No?
That's true.
All right. True. Maybe not. But I do wonder about whether it's Mercedes Lewis or anybody else. You do have – it's not going to be your rookie quarterback. I don't know that you want to have this much disconnect this early in a season that carried such high expectations.
And we got a couple texters that are saying the way we're talking about Matt Nagy, not Shane Waldron. And the way we're talking,
unfortunately, we're talking
the same
about
problems.
Matt Nagy and Luke Getsy and Ron Turner and Mike Martz and John Shoup and all of Bill Lazor. Oh my gosh, you talk about a tortured list of bad quarterbacks. How about the list of offensive coordinators in this town? Goodness sakes, it's the toughest job in sports. Can't they in Chicago sports? Can't they find somebody that's going to do it right and say, you know, wow. I didn't expect that.
All right, we've got we're going to take a look at what everybody said about what will happen in the game, and we'll get to your phone calls as well. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Mully and Haw got you ready for Bears Week 4 matchup against the Los Angeles Rams with experts analysis from former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
I mean, I like the Bears in this one, absolutely, but
wow,
I do. I mean, come on.
I believe
we got a better football team than the Rams right now.
Okay.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And we should be motivated. We should be angry. We should be disappointed.
Olin Krutz.
You better lock the hell in, right? You better lock the hell in and realize that you, like, these games are not guaranteed. And like you said, man, McVay and Stafford, always a formidable pair, right? Just get back together, get back to the building, want a win. Like you guys know in the NFL, they beat the Rams next week. We're on here telling them how great they were, right?
Chicago Bear wide receiver, DJ Moore.
Extremely important because we can't control what the front office do, but we can control wins and losses. So if we just go out there and execute everything and to the game plan's extent, we're going to win. If we don't, no. It's the what have you done for me lately league, and things can happen and you never want to see that, but at the end of the day it is everybody's livelihood.
Bears Tribune beat reporter Dan Weeder.
It heightened the scrutiny on whether your head coach has the ability to handle the game operation in a successful manner.
Nick Costas.
Matt Eberflus is a terrible coach. Shane Waldron's a terrible offensive coordinator. I know everyone in the audience thinks that already. Last week it was, okay, I get Shane Steichen, you get Matt Eberflus. This week it's I get Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, and I get 3 points, and you get Matt Eberflus.
Odyssey NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger.
I think they have a great defense, and this week is a challenge because if you don't get to Matt Stafford, and they have their protections are amazing and how they deploy their protections. So guys are going to get doubled. All this kind of stuff's going to happen. But if you can't affect Matt Stafford, I don't care who he's throwing to.
NFL Network reporter, Stacey Dales.
This is an opportunity for the Bears, but we said going into the Colts game, maybe they'll run the ball a little bit more. I don't know who their lead back is right now. And I also just, through 3 games as I watch it, I'm just wondering if you really thought, like, does Shane Waldron, is his identity to run the ball?
Chicago Tribune Bears beat reporter, Brad Biggs.
I went back and forth on this one at the beginning of the week. I was Bears, and then I got to thinking about just kind of an unsure vibe about a lot of things up there, and I was kind of leaning toward the Rams because they're obviously very well coached with Sean McVay, and Stafford, again, is elite. And I flipped back to the Bears last night, guys. I just think that the situation here sets up for them. The Rams have not played well on defense. Stafford's without those targets, so I went with the Bears. I don't know that it'll necessarily be real pretty. It doesn't have to be. I picked 17-16, guys.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
I'm leaning to the Bears. You can still find 2.5 out there. I think the Rams are coming in too banged up. Overvalued, very lucky last week. This is the week the Bears turn it around a little bit. We got to figure we get the offense going here at some point, right, boys?
Mark Grody.
The Bears will win 24-14 over the Rams. There will be a defensive touchdown for the Bears in this game as well.
Man.
And you want some Caleb numbers?
Please.
Caleb Williams will be 21 of 32 for 214 yards, a touchdown, and an interception.
Can the Bears win against the Los Angeles Rams? Mullin Haugh and your reactions to the Bears' upcoming matchup on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.
Mullin and Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and iDot. It's not a game, Illinois.com. I enjoyed listening to all of that, and I specifically enjoyed the amount of clarity that Grody gave. What if he was right about all those statistics?
Possibly. That would be
too freaky.
A lot of fun. On Monday, if the Bears win by 10 and Caleb Williams has a serviceable day, not spectacular,
yeah,
I think everybody would take that. But I think what you heard was a reflection of what's going on. There's a citywide lack of confidence in the Bears right now.
Yes.
That is much different than what we experienced in the preseason. And we were definitely responsible for much of the hype heading into this season.
Were.
Okay,
you,
I was.
Okay,
yeah.
That's better. Dustin has a hand in that too, and Brandon, I blame you a little
bit. All right.
Bit.
Well, I think that everyone plays a role,
but
and
I
we can absolve you. But the hype was real, the expectations were high, and what happened in Indianapolis was it really started to chip away at the belief in this football team and season because of the way that they lost. It wasn't just them losing.
Yes.
I think if they would have had a smart plan, solid game, and the Colts just played better. But the Colts are bad. That rookie quarterback tried to give the second-year quarterback, Anthony Richardson, tried to give them the game, and the Bears said, no, thank you. And so because of the way that they lost, I think it undercut all the things that we thought we knew about this team.
I've decided now I'm going to blame the Hard Knocks program. There was too much positivity.
Mm-hmm.
They should have had more swearing in it. And if we had heard them cussing out each other, I think we'd have maybe thought things weren't going to be as good. I blame George.
Damn
frankly.
Right.
Damn right. That's right. How about Beep. It?
You dump that, Brandon?
Yeah.
Did you dump that?
No.
You have to dump
they,
damn?
They did that.
I'm not expert on that stuff, but
no.
Okay.
That's a good one. I once went to the Hoover Dam. And I kept saying the entire time, I kept saying, God, this damn road. Look at the damn traffic. And what's the damn line doing?
Okay, I get
damn
the picture.
And my wife literally like had to plead with me to stop.
Like
and
me?
I told her.
Like I am now?
I can't.
Just stop.
I can't. I'm
Please.
On a roll.
Please stop. Oh, boy. It's a tough
She's
week.
She's pissed off.
Yeah. See, how could George...
Say that. I believe you asked that question.
I did. Maybe
she's
it was
pissed
me.
Off.
Maybe it was me.
It was.
It
you.
Might have been me. Think it's just the sight of me or the sound of me.
Do you think
was,
she's
was that what got the response about the bad question? And was that part of that, or is that different?
No,
time?
No. That was a different time.
Oh, okay.
David,
Hall?
that was David. You're muted. Sorry about that. Hello, George.
So that was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
That's me.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
That wasn't nice.
That's laugh out loud funny.
Yeah, that's funny stuff. But that was obviously during a online type of
deal. That was a Zoom situation.
That was a Zoomer.
The pissed off comment
pissed
was in
off
person.
Was at the end of the season.
Yeah, it was in person.
And was that when they fired Lovie or the year before they fired him?
I don't think it was that long ago. I think it was more around the Foxy version.
Was it Foxy?
Yeah, somewhere on there.
Well, I mean, they
Nagy?
They all blend together.
They do all blend together.
I know.
Okay, thank you, because that brings us back to now.
Yes.
All of these past years of dysfunction and bad offenses and having offensive coordinators try to explain their thought processes rather than having it be obvious to the naked eye. This week has been a microcosm of the last decade. It has been a long week. Going over what went wrong and what to fear next.
It just was such a lost opportunity. It was such a series of bad calls, bad plays. I heard our buddy Patrick Manley refer to the wasted timeout to attempt a two-point conversion as an egregious mistake.
It's a good word.
It's a good word.
Duke grad.
He's a dookie.
He has fine vocabulary.
Yes.
He definitely has a fine vocabulary.
But it also was egregious, especially following the previous week where you wasted two timeouts on challenges that you never had a hope to win.
Egregious is one step away from unacceptable. And the Bears are reaching that point already.
Yes.
Because if they squander this opportunity in front of them on Sunday, a beatable Rams team at home.
We're going to come in here on Monday talking about them chasing the season and chasing their jobs.
1-3 would be no way to say that you were going to get off to a good start and you were going to win more games than you lose.
2-2 in the division, all
different
of a sudden
story.
It's a different
team. Okay, different
it's
story.
It's a big, big week for the Bears, man.
It is.
Big week.
It also, the home field advantage is something that we haven't mentioned all week, but the Bears have the longest home winning streak in the NFL. They've won 6 in a row, and they go for their 7th. And that is something that gets overlooked, but they have not lost at home in a while.
And the Rams are 0-6 in the Central time zone, their last 6 games.
Kickoff 10 o'clock.
There's a
LA
12-game swing going on here.
Matthew Stafford will be taking his first snap about 10 o'clock, according to his body clock.
That's right.
And
he'll be like, wait, I need
by 10 o'clock of most days in California, Sean McVay, I mean, is only on his 15th cup of coffee.
Sean McVay has memorized every player who's ever been in the league, and he can rattle off every name.
That's freaky.
You ever hear him go?
Yes.
Right guy.
It's like one of these things where you go to a medium, and you're sitting there in the audience, and you're like, oh my gosh, how did he know that? How did he remember that?
My buddy could alphabetize words. That was his little mental trick that he learned. And he could, like, you give him a word and he could tell you the letters in alphabetical order that are used in the word.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it was genius. He was actually offered a stupid pet trick or a stupid human trick on Letterman, and he turned it down because he didn't find it stupid. But that's the sort of memory thing. When you hear McVay, it's like he's performing like a carnival.
It is.
Act.
He's like an
it's
act.
Extraordinary.
It's a stunt. And I used to think it was cool when I was a kid. I could memorize all the presidents. And
what about all the presidents' men?
No, way too long of a list. And then I thought that was cool. So I'm gonna memorize the states in alphabetical order. I still could do that. I think.
Can you name the capital of every state?
I think I could.
Yeah.
I used to do that.
I used to be good on that.
But the alphabetizing, the states in alphabetic order was something that I think was, it win a few bets that way.
I used to be able to diagram sentences with the best of them. But that skill has left me.
That's
since I've been talking for a living.
Then you got into newspapers.
Before. That's how you get into newspapers.
By I don't know.
I think the way you become a sports writer is wanting to be a writer, and then you end up as a sports writer, and that's pretty good.
That's the old days.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Well, English majors can be sports writers. It can
Thank
be
you.
Yeah, a little bit of an adjustment.
Never.
You're not writing screenplays. You're not writing literature.
What are you talking about? I'm writing poetry. Didn't you ever read me?
I did. I think my point is made.
You never rhymed. It's not how it works.
I kept waiting for the rhyme. No, I used to like reading your stuff because there would always be an early I want to be careful here.
Yeah, let's not go there.
But there would be some allusions.
We're about to have the weekend, David.
Would make some allusions to, let's say something in literature or something in
Irish history. I'd get back to it eventually.
You would get back to it, but it would be a fun thing to kind of, what will he, how will he get into this
How will
this
he
now?
Ruin this story?
No, not ruin.
How will this idiot destroy my weekend? Oh, God help us. Listen, I hope to God we are in here on Monday morning talking positively about something good that's happened and the season's working out.
I do, too.
I think that, unfortunately, that may not be the case. I did go
with the Bears. You picked Bears, though.
I did.
I did not.
I know you
did. What was your score again? 1917?
1917.
You think Bears 1917. I said 23 to 20 Rams.
I know.
And I hope that I'm wrong, because it would be much better to continue to look at the bright side of this season if we come in here Monday after a Bears victory. If they start 1-3, I think that the context of everything changes.
I said to Brandon earlier, I said, hey, Dustin took the Bears, right? And he said, he always takes the Bears.
But I did say, this was, as Big said, this was the hardest one for me to pick. But David, after you just gave us those great statistics like 3 minutes ago, I'm shocked, based on the winning streak and the Rams time zone issues, I'm shocked that you went with the Rams.
I'm not surprised.
I watched the game Sunday.
Yeah, that was what got him. Sunday was a bridge too far.
Coaching matters in the NFL.
Yes.
And right now,
and it's a lopsided.
You get me on a bad week because I just have my confidence in this coaching staff after yesterday was
shaken.
It was shaken. I won't say shot.
Mine was stirred.
Defensively, I think they still are doing everything right. Defensively, that's the shame of it all. I think their coaching staff is outstanding on that side of the ball. I think offensively, they missed an opportunity in the offseason to make a positive impact. They're making an impact, just not the right kind.
Oh, boy. I mean, listen, this is, we're hopeful, but we don't know.
We got to give away some tickets here, Molly. Right now, listeners can be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. Win a pair of tickets to see Thomas Rhett, love Thomas Rhett, with special guests Tucker Wetmore, Dasha Better, in the Better in Boots Tour Saturday, August 9th, 2025, Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin.
Is that too far in advance to plan, or are you game for
it? It's a great promotion, Molly.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's a little far in advance to plan, but I think that you can never be too prepared.
Molly and Haw, we got, I believe it is Dan. I thought I saw him. Anthony Herron is here, too. And Anthony Herron. Anthony is here?
Yes.
Okay, good. We'll have both those guys next. We'll get a chance to chat. Molly and Haw on the Score.